Thank you very much, ladies, for your help in leading this evening. I just kind of wanted to let you know right before the service, Lynette received a text message from John and Becky, and they were planning on coming in tonight, but John lost his wedding ring. And they believe that it's probably between a couple of the big boxes that they packed to get shipped out. So they were on their way to Warren, where the boxes are delivered, and then from Warren they go to North Carolina. And so they were going to check and see, by any chance, did someone find a wedding ring here? But they wanted me to let you know that the final tally on the boxes was 1,405. And so that is just absolutely incredible. 1,405 children are going to get a gift that they would not have gotten one. And that's just being repeated all over this nation. What an incredible, incredible blessing that is going to be. It's going to let people know. You know, there are those who care. There are those who are thinking of me, and we prayed for those boxes before they left, and we asked the Lord to use those for eternal purposes. Let those kids realize that there's a God who really has a concern for each of them. And so we certainly want to thank the Lord for what he has done there. And of course, thank each and every one of you. It was a lot of fun Friday night. We had a great time. Gave me a lot of opportunity to harass a lot of people. And that's kind of fun. But it was a great time together. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. I also wanted to let you know that if you perchance would like to do something for the Proctor family, just take one of the pew envelopes, whatever gift you would like to give to them, put in that envelope, right on the outside of it, for the Proctors. And we will see that it gets taken to them. Okay? I had a teacher that came up to me this morning, and they said, you know, we called the Red Cross, and we said, look, can we make a donation to this family, run it through the Red Cross, and will they get everything? And the Red Cross told them, no, we can't do that. And so she came up to me, and she said, can we do that through the church? I said, absolutely. If you want to do that, you just go ahead and bring the gift, and we will see that the whole thing goes to that family. You know, that's the least that we can do, folks, is make certain that they get what people want to give out of hearts of gratitude. Okay, if you have your Bibles now, we're looking at the book of Malachi. We're ready to begin chapter 3. As you will remember, it's been a couple of weeks now since we met in this format. But we have been looking at this particular book, which is a discussion, if you will, that takes place between God and the people of Israel. As the Old Testament is ready to be closed out, there is this frustration that we see from the Lord as the people of Israel, in particular the priests, have really gone off the deep end. And they are not honoring God. And consequently, folks, I'm going to tell you, people follow the directions that their priests or their pastors take. When a shepherd is called into shepherding. He is called to lead the people. And a shepherd is going to do that honorably, or he's going to do it dishonorably. We are seeing in modern day times an awful lot of dishonorable pastors, priests, rabbis, that are really not directing people in biblical paths. And so that's why we're seeing such compromise. That's why we're seeing such apostasy that is taking place in the modern day church. It's not just a fulfillment of the prophecy of God. The prophecy of God is, look, this is what's going to happen because their hearts are far from me. So it's the foreknowledge of God. He knows what's going to happen. And I want you to understand, God does not cause the church to fall away. He does not cause that. The church falls away because of poor leadership. We have to be aware of that. You'll notice that by the time Jesus comes and there's been the time of the closing of the Old Testament until we begin to hear the announcements about the birth of the Christ going to take place in that time, that exciting time that we're getting ready to enter. But as all of that is taking place, there's that 400 years of just absolute silence from heaven. And by the time Jesus begins his earthly ministry, the priests, the Pharisees, the rabbis, the scribes, their hearts are far from God. And they are not honoring God. And once Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to honor God and say things the way that they are, there are many who get really angry. But you know what? Jesus was going to honor his Father with truth and with righteousness. And in this day in which we live, that's vital and really important. As we begin this third chapter, we begin it with the prophecy that Jesus is coming. Now, this is going to be for the birth of Christ. And it's going to be also kind of a prophecy about John the Baptist and the establishment of the fact that he would go and he would prepare the way before Christ. And that was John the Baptist's job. You remember that? When John the Baptist's birth was predicted, by the way, a miraculous birth, not a virgin birth, but a miraculous birth. When you've got a 100-and-some-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman going to have a child, that's a miracle. I don't care what anybody says. Bill, that's a miracle, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And so it's a miraculous birth with John the Baptist. But he was to come as the forerunner of Christ, the one called to prepare the way, to make the path straight for the Christ, and to get the nation of Israel on the right page. And we see that as John the Baptist does that, and as he's having this incredible ministry that is taking place at the very height of his popularity, at the very strength of his ministry, as people are coming to the Jordan River, as they're getting baptized, as they're getting committed to Christ, John sees the Christ coming down the street. And he said, "Ah, behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world." You see, John couldn't do that. John could not take away the sins of the world. Only the Christ, only the Messiah would be able to do that. And so John recognized that. And then he makes this statement. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. And as Jesus begins the public ministry, we see where his ministry increased. In that day and age, he preaches on the hillside to thousands. And people repent. And people learn about what God has in store for them. The Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, tell how in Jesus' early days, he does that Sermon on the Mount, and he's telling them, look, here are the principles that you are to live by. And that's what that whole sermon is about. This is it. And he lists his outline called the Beatitudes. If you will, the Beatitudes. In other words, what is to be the blessed ours. And he closes that in the eighth verse with this phrase, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A pure heart. A heart that is fully dedicated, fully committed to Christ. You see, that's foreign in the day in which Jesus walked. Because the ministry of the church had fallen so far. The priests were corrupt in everything that they did. And you will know how they stood against Christ and how the scribes and the Pharisees did everything they could to try to destroy him. But he overcame, believe it or not, through the power of the cross. No cross, no victory. Because of the cross, we have life. Now look at this third chapter. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. You see, there is the promise of John the Baptist. I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. He will open up things so that as the ministry of the Messiah begins, there is a straight path. And you will remember that the message of John the Baptist was a message of repentance. Repentance of sin. And that was the overall message that John the Baptist presented. And then the baptizing of them was their demonstration, their public confession, if you will, to the washing away of their sins, the acknowledgement that the message of John is a message that we need to hear. We need to repent. Make straight the way of the Lord. Be prepared. And so as John does that, this particular verse is declaring that John the Baptist is going to be coming. All right? He will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Do you remember how that took place? Jesus has gone through his baptism. He's gone through his trial, if you will, by fire or by desert, however you want to look at it. He has gone through that 40 days. And then He stands up in the temple and he reads out of Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah. And then he says this, "Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears." Today. He will suddenly appear in the temple. That's where Jesus began his ministry. You know, the temple wasn't ready. Well, the temple was. The temple leaders weren't. They began to reject and to rebel against the Christ the moment that he declared who he was. It's no different today. In this world in which we live, you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are rejected. That's the way our world's gone. You look at the system of the world, and they say, you know what the problem in this world is? It's all those religious fanatics. That's where the issue is. If it weren't for them, we could go unhindered in our murdering of the unborn. If it weren't for them, we would be able to have marriages, whatever we want. Man to man, woman to woman, man to goat, whatever. And you see, those whole philosophies are so anti-biblical and anti-Christian. Just as in the days preceding the first coming of the Christ, this earth is set up for the days of the second coming of Christ. The parallels are amazing. And Paul talked about that when he said, oh, that day won't come except there be the great apostasy that happens first, the great falling away. And folks, we are seeing that at an alarming rate. Churches, denominations, falling away from the truth of the Scripture. Falling away from what God has declared as righteous and holy and true in order that man might go unrestrained and yet have a form of godliness but absolutely no power and no authority in their lives. We have become, in this country, a people of pleasure over a people of righteousness. We have become a people that is just so possessed with entertainment that even the church must be entertained instead of being the worshiping body that it needs to be. The table is set. The Christ is coming back. Are we ready? Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. I'm going to send my son, the Father is saying. And in sending my son, he comes with a refiner's fire. Purity will be the call of the hour. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. Folks, Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being here. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I want to remind you that the Wednesday evening program is totally lifted for people to celebrate with their families and that type of thing. Next Sunday, gather together. Worship the Lord. And watch as He amazes us. Would you please stand? We want to close in a word of prayer. Our amazing Father, thank you. You know, Lord, sometimes your word is a little stern. Well, that's because we need a kick every once in a while. And so, Lord, please help us. Help us to honor you. Help us to live for you with pure hearts in this present world. Lord, let our faith be so strong that it can't be shaken by the powers of this world. Now fill us at every moment with your dignity, with your honor, with your love. Now, Father, watch over us this week. Open up many doors of opportunity that we might honor you. And, Father, we'll give you thanks, for it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.